Folks, it's 5 p.m. on Tuesday, June 28, 2022. We'll call the meeting to order. We start our meeting with an invocation and with a pledge. The invocation will be led by Councilmember Blomquist, and the pledge will be led by Councilmember Hallaby. Join us if you'd like.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office and lead in our city of Harker Heights the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose we may faithfully serve in our positions to promote the well-being of all citizens through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Join us to honor the American flag.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To honor the Texas flag,
honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is a roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, place two.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two, is present.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three.
Tony Cantorino, place three, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, place five.
Sam Hallaby, place five, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. And City Secretary and Ursula, you're acting in Ms. Helsum's position. Okay, thank you. Okay, roll call is complete and we do have a quorum. Next item, paragraph four, mayoral proclamations and presentations. Number one, receive a presentation to the city by John Footman of the Purple Heart coin and Purple Heart parking sign. And yeah, if you'll just come on up here, we'll do it up here on the dais.
Good afternoon, everybody. We at the Military Order Purple Heart right here in Harker Heights, we thank y'all for giving us this time to actually do something that has been long overdue. So this is the first city in Bell County that we actually made a Purple Heart city. And when we normally make cities, Purple Heart cities, we present them with things. And we realize that we did not present you with what you're supposed to have. So tonight, that's what we're going to do. So, we're going to get a reserve combat wounded sign. And we're going to, So on behalf of the Department of Texas and your local Military Order Purple Heart chapter, we thank you for doing so much for everyone that has the veterans.
Thank you very much. And item number two on mayoral proclamations and presentations, number two, proclamation declaring July 2022 as Parks and Recreation Month and July 15th, 2022 as Parks and Recreation Professionals Day.
Everybody down there come up because it's
Yeah, we can just switch if you want.
Got everybody aboard here?
Everybody can get a picture.
I'll read this and then you set that up like you're the professional on doing that. Okay, proclamation. Whereas Parks and Recreation is an integral part of communities throughout this country, including the city of Harker Heights. And whereas Parks and Recreation promotes time spent in nature, which positively impacts mental health by increasing cognitive performance and well-being, and alleviating illnesses such as depression, attention deficit disorders, and Alzheimer's. And whereas Parks and Recreation encourages physical activities by providing space for popular sports, hiking trails, swimming pools, and many other activities designed to promote active lifestyles. And whereas Parks and Recreation programming and education activities, such as out-of-school time programming, youth sports, and environmental education are critical to childhood development. And whereas Parks and Recreation increases a community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of the local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas Parks and Recreation is fundamental to the environmental well-being of our community. And whereas Parks and Recreation is essential and adaptable infrastructure that makes our communities resilient in the face of natural disasters and climate change. And whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month. And whereas the City of Harker Heights recognizes the benefits derived from parks and recreation resources. Now, therefore, I, Spencer H. Smith, Mayor of the City of Harker Heights, do hereby proclaim July 2022 to be Parks and Recreation Month, and July 15, 2022 to be Parks and Recreation Professionals Day. In witness thereof, I set my hand and affix the seal of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, this 28th day of June, 2022, signed Spencer H. Smith, Mayor. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good. You
want to say something?
Oh,
then we'll do the
photo op. Absolutely. Do the photo op first?
No, do the photo op.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mayor. We're always excited to celebrate Parks and Recreation Month, though Texas doesn't get a vote, I guess, in what month Parks and Recreation Month is. July is pretty rough to be outside here in Texas. But we're very excited. We have several activities planned throughout the entire month of July, starting with July 7th, Parks and Rec Fest. So everybody come out to Parks and Rec Fest on Thursday, July 7th. It'll be at Carly Bend Park. We'll have all kinds of activities for the community, and then we'll have several things going on. However, I do want to say, so the events are great, but Parks and Recreation Month is also a time to showcase the people who make Parks and Recreation what it is, which is the community, but it's also these awesome people here that are working for the community, and that includes our staff, and it also includes our Parks Advisory Board members. And we are very lucky in the city of Harker Heights to have a fantastic staff and a fantastic board, advisory board, who are always working to make this community a better place. So, well, thank you, Mayor. Good words. Good. Thank you.
I'm short.
All right. Let's be honest, everybody. Shorter folks in the front.
Okay, I would say sorority squad. I would say, see behind your shoulders.
Just do zigzag.
What's it? Bob?
Am I blocking you?
That's not that shot.
That'll work. Okay, good.
Everybody ready?
Yep.
And one, two, and three. One more. And right in. There we go. One, two, and thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You ready to go?
Okay.
Okay, the next item is paragraph 5, consent items. Number 1, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meeting held on June 14th, 2022, and take the appropriate action. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on June 14th, 2022, as written.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, please, 5 seconds.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, Place 2, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3, how do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, Place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, Place 5, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously, 3-0. Okay, and this next item, we're going to take matters. We're going to take paragraph 7, presentations by citizens, and move that up. And the next item after that will be the initiative petition. I've got the green sheets here for people that want to speak to that. This is not a public hearing, but since people have come out, we will be able to take your input. But again, later on, when we schedule this thing, that we will have a public hearing, I guess, next month, that we'll be scheduling that. So in both presentation by citizens and on the initiative, we'll be in the receive mode from you, but there won't be a dialogue. Okay, everybody understand that? Okay, good. Okay, so presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand, while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code Section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone that wants to make a presentation to the council? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move back down to paragraph 6. Okay, do you understand what I did? Okay, what I'd said, that next time we'll go down, okay, after presentations by citizens, we did that out of order. Next thing we're going to do is paragraph 6, which is going to be the initiative petition. Okay, we've got people that have already filled out the green sheets, okay, and then if you want to be able to talk to that specific item, then this is going to be your opportunity to do that. But again, it'll be just for you all to transmit to us 3 minutes. Okay, there won't be any dialogue. We'll schedule a public hearing, and at that time, that'll be a different process. Does everybody understand that? Okay, we'll be moving forward. Okay, on paragraph 6, number 1, receive secretary's examination and certification of initiative petition relating to elimination of low-level marijuana enforcement and possible discussion relating thereof. Read proposed initiative ordinance, discussion, and possible action regarding setting of a date for a public hearing and council consideration of initiative ordinance and take appropriate action. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As you are aware, the city has received an initiative petition relating to the elimination of low-level marijuana enforcement. Our City Secretary, Julie Helsham, has reviewed and certified the petition as being sufficient and meets all requirements in accordance with state law and the city charter. As council is aware, Ms. Helsham is out due to a death in the family, and our thoughts and prayers remain with her and her family. The city's charter requires that the proposed initiative ordinance be read. The proposed initiative ordinance reads as follows. So, council, you do have this in your packet if you want to follow along. And I'll just say the mayor gets abused a lot by having to read long titles, and I guess it's payback time for me tonight.
Good.
So, all right, so we'll start out. An ordinance to eliminate low-level marijuana enforcement. Be it ordained by the voters of the City of Harker Heights. Title 13, Chapter 133 of the City Code is hereby created to be titled Marijuana Enforcement and to read as follows. Chapter 133, Marijuana Enforcement, Section 133.01, Ending Citations and Arrests for Misdemeanor Possession of Marijuana. Subsection A, Harker Heights police officers shall not issue citations or make arrests for Class A or Class B misdemeanor possession of marijuana offenses, except in the limited circumstances described in subsection B. Subsection B, the only circumstances in which Harker Heights police officers are permitted to issue citations or make arrests for Class A or Class B misdemeanor possession of marijuana are when such citations or arrests are part of 1, the investigation of a felony level narcotics case that has been designated as a high priority investigation by a Harker Heights police commander, assistant chief of police, or chief of police, and or 2, the investigation of a violent felony. Subsection C. In every instance other than those described in subsection B, if a Harker Heights police officer has probable cause to believe that a substance is marijuana, an officer may seize the marijuana. If the officer seizes the marijuana, they must write a detailed report and release the individual if possession of marijuana is the sole charge. Subsection D. Harker Heights police officers shall not issue any charge for possession of marijuana unless it meets at least one of the factors described in subsection B. Section 133.02, citations for possession of drug residue or drug paraphernalia shall not be issued in lieu of a possession of marijuana charge. Subsection A, a Class C misdemeanor citation for possession of drug residue or drug paraphernalia shall not be issued in lieu of a possession of marijuana charge. Section 133.03, prohibition against using city funds or personnel to conduct THC concentration testing. Subsection A, no city funds or personnel shall be used to request, conduct, or obtain tetrahydrocannabinol THC testing of any cannabis-related substance to determine whether the substance meets the legal definition of marijuana under state law, except in the limited circumstances of a police investigation pursuant to Section 133.01, Subsection B. Subsection B, this prohibition shall not limit the ability of Harker Heights Police to conduct toxicology testing to ensure public safety, nor shall it limit THC testing for the purpose of any violent felony charge. Section 133.04, prohibition against city police using the odor of marijuana or hemp as probable cause for search or seizure. Subsection A, Harker Heights Police shall not consider the odor of marijuana or hemp to constitute probable cause for any search or seizure, except in the limited circumstances of a police investigation pursuant to Section 133.01, Subsection B. Section 133.05, training and policy updates, community involvement. Subsection A, the city manager and chief of police shall ensure that the Harker Heights police officers receive adequate training concerning each of the provisions of this ordinance. Subsection B, the city manager shall work with the Harker Heights police chief and other relevant stakeholders identified in subsection C to update city policies and internal operating procedures in accordance with this ordinance. Actions that may be necessary include, but are not limited to, updating the Harker Heights Police Department General Manual, updating the training bulletin, training officers, and updating internal databases and systems. Subsection C, the city manager shall arrange regular meetings to discuss the development of policies, procedures, and practices related to this ordinance, which shall include community stakeholders, including the police chief's advisory panel, other interested stakeholders and community organizations, individuals directly impacted by arrests within the city, immigrant communities, and communities of color. These meetings shall be open to public participation, have minutes and agendas publicly accessible, and have audio and video recordings uploaded to the city's website, if feasible. Section 133.06, discipline. Subsection A, any violation of this chapter may subject a Harker Heights police officer to discipline as provided by the Texas Local Government Code or as provided in city policy. Section 133.07, reporting. Subsection A, Within 3 months of the adoption of this ordinance and annually thereafter, the city manager or their designee shall present to the city council at a public meeting subject to the Texas Open Meetings Act a report concerning the city's implementation of this ordinance. Council Mayor, that concludes the reading of the ordinance. Council will need to take action to set a date for a public hearing on the proposed initiative ordinance and for council action on the ordinance. Staff recommends setting the public hearing and council action on the ordinance for the council meeting on July 26th. At this time, Mayor, I'd like to turn the presentation over to our city's attorney, Charlie Olson, for him to provide an overview of the timeline for the process.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mayor. The charter, although it's not used all that much, the charter of Harker Heights, as many other cities, provides for this process of initiative. Tonight, you've taken the first steps. It's in Chapter 8 of the charter. You've taken the first steps to acknowledge the filing and the sufficiency of the initiative, and then reading it word for word. And now you will set a public hearing, which is the next step of the process. Then the council, as required by the charter, will discuss it and vote on the ordinance. And if you fail to pass the ordinance or if you amend the ordinance, then the matter will go before the electorate at the next uniform election date, which would be in November. But that'll be pursuant to another order. So that's down the line a bit. Once you get through the election, then the charter provides that if the ordinance fails at the election, then the ordinance fails. If the ordinance passes at the election, then the council then has authority over the ordinance as in any other ordinance, which means it can amend it, repeal it, or and that's set out in the charter. So our timeline is the charter says you have 60 days to act on it, which would put you towards the end of August, but the election would need to be called by the 22nd of August. So the July date is right in the sweet spot there. I would say that the staff recommendation regarding that is a good date to deal with this and to get this matter moving on down the line.
That concludes our presentation. Mayor, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, Council, any questions for the city manager or city attorney? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into the individuals that wish to speak on this. I've got four green sheets now. If there's anybody else that we'll see, Ursula, if you want to do that, or once you come up, you'll be able to give your name and address for the record since it's being recorded. So I'll go ahead and start out. The first one I have is Stacy Wilson from 2401 Creek Drive, Harker Heights, Texas.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council and constituents. I'm here to address the ballot measure, an initiative that was created for the purpose for the citizens and for their voices to be heard. I value the voices of the voters, and I want to ensure there is a space for them to exercise their rights. I believe active participation will determine the trajectory of our community. You may see a signature on these papers, but I see the story I've heard from real people in our community who have seen, witnessed, or have had their lives changed by marijuana. Thank you to everyone who signed the petition, support of the cause, and can see how decriminalization is a pathway to heal our veterans or eliminate the pain from those who are suffering for treatment of epilepsy. It is a game changer for youth by removing another barrier that could hinder their future. What we have done here is an example of our collective effort in amplifying those voices whose stories are all too real, whose pain I've seen, and who shall not be viewed as hard criminals. The purpose of decriminalization is to avoid a persecution for the possession of a specified amount of marijuana. The research and studies have produced the following. Decriminalization would lessen the fear of persecution of our military veterans who use marijuana for medicinal purposes related to PTSD and do not want to be prescribed 10 plus. That leaves them feeling worse. Decrim would reduce prison population, thus reducing the amount of government spending on prisons and having more money on the true needs of the community. Prisons should be reserved for criminals who are an immediate threat to the public. Decrim would free up law enforcement to focus on serious crimes. Decrim would allow for people to not have their record to be an obstacle for success or decriminated against in their community for a low-level offense like marijuana. There are more people of color, four times more likely to get arrested than other people. 26 states and the District of Columbia have decriminalized certain marijuana possessions. Offenses. 37 states have authorized medicinal use of it. Over 50 localities in a dozen states have enacted municipal laws or resolutions, either fully or partially, decriminalizing minor cannabis possession offenses. 11 counties in Texas have decriminalized marijuana. Today, those who assigned the position have been heard. Their concerns, their stories are recognized. Thank you, Harker Heights City Council, for this time to present the voices of the citizens.
Okay, thank you very much. Next individual we have is Dr. Eddie West, 3203 Eagle Ridge, Harker Heights, Texas.
The Honorable Mayor Spencer H. Smith, Mayor Pro Tem Jennifer McCain in absentia, and distinguished members of the City Council. I appreciate the opportunity to address this body concerning the initiative petition relating to elimination of low-level marijuana enforcement. During my tenure as superintendent of schools in the state of Michigan, as president of the Michigan Association of Supervision and Curriculum Development, and as an advisor to the Michigan House of Representatives, as well as Kent County Juvenile Court System, I have personally witnessed the devastating impact on the lives of young adults due to their conviction on low-level marijuana charges, which impact their employment opportunities, education aspirations, and their overall quality of life. Pursuant to these statements, data, statistics, and historical anecdotal research information is readily available that details the impact of low-level marijuana convictions on specific demographic populations. I encourage the council to take action regarding setting a date for a public hearing and council consideration of the initiative ordinance and to take the appropriate action. There's a quote I'd like to leave you with as I exit this podium. The quote is, the road to success isn't just about where you want to get to, it's also about how you get there. Our future is greater than our past.
Great. Thank you, Dr. West. Good. Next individual I have is, make sure I pronounce this right, Karen Gray, 813 Snowbird Drive, Harker Heights, Texas.
Karen.
Karen? Okay, got it.
All right. Thank you for this opportunity to speak and address the initiative and the petitions. When we talk about what it is, why we do it is just as important. Decriminalization of cannabis means it would remain illegal, but the legal system would not prosecute a person for possession under a specified amount. And why? The people have utilized the process through petitions to let the community respond in November. We want to save money by reducing prison and especially jail cost and population size. Free up law enforcement resources to be used in more appropriate ways and on serious crimes. We want to prioritize health and safety over punishment for people who use drugs, and far more harm is done with the criminal prohibition of marijuana than by the use of marijuana itself. We also want to reduce the stigma associated with drug use so that problematic drug users are encouraged to come out of the shadows and seek treatment and other support. And we know that decriminalization based on studies does not lead to greater use. We want to remove barriers of evidence-based harm reduction practices such as drug checking, heroin-assisted treatments, and medical marijuana. And then people who are arrested for low levels of marijuana are left with a record that impacts the rest of their lives and their ability to be productive citizens in our community, thus sometimes leading back to a life of crime. So how do we do this? We allow our voices to be heard and allow the council and the voters and the community to be educated on what decriminalization is and how it will create a more equitable community and close the gaps on some inequities that the justice system can sometimes perpetuate. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gray. The next green sheet that I have is for Charles Wilson, 2401 Creek Drive, Harker Heights, Texas.
Good evening, fellow Americans, City Council representatives, Mayor Smith. My name is Charles Wilson, and I'm a veteran with almost 25 years of honorable service before I retired. I would like to ask you a few questions. Have you ever heard people say, "Thank you for your service"? Have you ever thanked a vet for their service? Are these mere courteous platitudes? Well, there's another saying that I would like to introduce you to. Some say freedom isn't free. You see, what me and my comrades in arms have paid the price so that some can enjoy freedom freely. I don't know about you, but I've been rocked to shock from incoming mortar rounds. I've witnessed the havoc of vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices detonated in the midst of crowds, and I've witnessed the damages caused to men, women, and children. I've lost friends and comrades in far-off lands. The effects of these losses and my experiences like these have been permanently embedded in my mind, causing me and other vets PTSD. My fellow brothers and sisters at arms are committing suicide because they're suffering. Since 9/11, over 30,000 service members have lost their lives to suicide. So you want to say, thank a veteran? How about we help a veteran? I'm here to speak on behalf of some of my comrades at arms who do use marijuana. We all seek the treatment that works best for us. A lot of the medicine veterans are given can really drag you down and make you really lethargic for long periods of time. They also have many damaging side effects. Recent medical research has shown the benefits of using marijuana as an alternative without as many side effects. I believe this is a viable alternative for veterans. And I don't believe that veterans should be arrested for being in possession of small quantities of marijuana. However, as policy currently stands, this is not the case. They can be punished for that. I believe if you want to thank a vet, you should allow the people to decide if marijuana should be decriminalized. And in closing, I will leave you with a quote from a fellow veteran referring to marijuana decriminalization. He stated, "This is just long overdue. It's a common sense issue. It's a compassionate issue. It's an empathy issue. We're talking about people that are suffering one way or the other." Josh Biddix. So thank you for listening, and hopefully you will take the action necessary to give veterans and the people the chance to decide these issues for themselves at the ballot box.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wilson. there anyone else that wants to speak to this issue? Is there anyone else that wants to speak on the initiative petition? Okay, seeing none, we'll close that item. We'll move on down the agenda to paragraph 8, reports of advisory.
Yeah, we still have to have council make a motion. Again, staff does propose the July 26th date, that meeting, which is our normal meeting on that date, for the public hearing as well as for council to take action on the ordinance.
Okay, I skipped over that part. Thank you for catching me on that. Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion from the council? Councilmember Cantorino.
This is Tony Cantorino, place 3. I make a motion to set a public hearing on this petition for July 26th.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Blomquist.
It's Michael Blomquist, councilman, place 2. I will second.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Mr. Mitchell, yeah, we're clear with this?
We are.
Okay, good. All right, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, place 2. How do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, councilman, place 2. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place 3. How do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, place 5. How do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, place 5. Vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 3-0. Okay, now moving on to paragraph 8, reports of advisory boards and commissions. Number 1, receive and discuss a presentation regarding an annual update on the library board activities in 2021. Library director.
Good evening.
HR. Thank you. Okay, you're up.
Good evening. I would like to introduce to you Barbara Kelly. She is the chair of our library board, and she has come here tonight to let you know all the wonderful things that our library board has been working on this year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your time. The library board strives to improve the lives of library patrons by supporting the city's vision statement and the library's mission statement. So, you know, should I read everything or just kind of go through? So the city's new vision statement, you can read that. The library's mission statement, Stuart C. Meyer, Harker Heights Public Library is a dynamic resource for encouraging lifelong learning and reading enjoyment, whether in the library facility or through ever-advancing technologies, the library provides opportunities for patrons to enrich their lives and to pursue their aspirations. So that's the library board purpose. These are the 7 members with our varied experience, expertise, and interest. The library board usually holds 6 in-person meetings a year. Through COVID, we didn't have them. The library board has several main tasks. Review the library's strategic plan, promote the importance of literacy and information dissemination, reviews of library policies and procedures, develop public awareness strategies, review library's website and virtual library. Here's our accomplishments for 2021 and 2022. Completed updates on new 2022 through 27 strategic plan. Goal 1, be responsive to the community and successfully communicate with patrons to serve the educational, information, and recreational needs. Goal 2, provide timely access to high-quality print and non-print materials that will meet the varying needs, interests, and format preference of the library's diverse patrons and community. Goal 3, provide excellent library services and programs to meet lifelong learning needs of patrons. Goal 4, provide the community with secure, inviting, and accessible destination. Goal 5, develop a working environment that encourages professional growth, teamwork, and creativity in library staff members, volunteers, and other departments in the city of Harker Heights. So our accomplishments are provide guidance and discussion for policies and procedures, reinstitution of in-person programs and new services to be offered, review and approved material selection policy. So our goals for 2022 and 2023, what are our goals for this upcoming year? Review and update other library policies, investigate new social media and technologies for informational dissemination, assist with marketing for virtual library. So these are some of the in-person programs which Lisa puts on, virtual programs. They're doing Camp Read for the summer. And that's the report. Thank you.
Ms. Goody, any questions from the council or Ms. Kelly? Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I mean, charts don't really put it into perspective of all the things the library does. I mean, I've been to a bunch of the functions, and it's really fun and exciting. What's something that really jumps out at you as one of the most exciting things that you've seen, that you've, you know, witnessed or participated in our library?
I think for me, as also a librarian, like, I love to see Makerspace, so she always has it set out, and, you know, kids can just explore and do the things. I know that she gives away a lot of books, and I think putting books in hands of kids that maybe don't have any books at home, I think is exciting as well. And there's just always something in the library that's going on, so I think Lisa does a great job.
It's awesome. It's a great library.
Yes.
So thank you for what you do, too. Thank you.
And Mr. Mitchell?
Barbara, I just want to say, as your city manager, from your council and staff as well, how much we appreciate you and the board.
Thank you.
And so if you please take that back and share with them our thanks for all the good work that they do bringing such neat programming to our city.
I sure will. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. And again, we need to make a motion on this. That's what's shown on here. Or is that just to receive the report? Yeah. Okay. Well, we're just going to receive this report. It doesn't require a motion. So we'll move on to... paragraph 9, public hearings. Number 1, conduct a public hearing to discuss, consider approving an amendment to section 155.0221R1-I, single-family infill dwelling district of the Harkrides Code of Ordinances to allow for incentives, providing for an effective date of the amendment, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. You may recall back in 2016, the City Council adopted an ordinance to encourage infill development in the northern part of the city as well as a few of the older parts of the city. This was done in order to take advantage of the smaller lots that were existing and to get some quality infill development versus keeping those particular lots vacant since they didn't meet our R1 standard. In particular, the R1I district, they are 3,500 square feet in size, 30 feet minimum lot width, and 10 foot separation between residences. It is limited to those geographic regions that you have in your packet. During the first year that this particular ordinance was in place, there were only 3 projects that received incentives, and it was approximately $1,200 per lot. During the subsequent year, it was re-upped for incentives. However, no one took advantage of those particular incentives. Staff is recommending that we bring back those incentives. We've seen an uptick of development and some limited supply of lots within the area, and so we're wanting to encourage the redevelopment on that north side of the city, as well as to take advantage of the smaller lots that are in the older part of the city. With that, when you look at the geographic region in the Exhibit A that's in your packet, there are approximately 119 lots within the city that would qualify for this R1I. 53 of those lots could also be included on the next agenda item for the R2I, with 66 of those lots for the R1I. Current costs, what we would be looking at waiving would be the zoning, platting, permitting, sewer taps, not including the street cuts and material costs, and the water taps, excluding the material and street costs. With that, it's approximately $1,500 a lot. So there is a range. If all of the lots were to get redeveloped, you're looking at a range of about $180,000 to $250,000. However, we don't believe within this short duration period that we would see that high level of number. I'm actually anticipating more along the lines of 50 or 60, so you're looking at about $100,000 or less in incentives to get some of those smaller lots developed within our city. And with that, I'm available for any questions you may have. If also to point out that we are recommending a timeline of being satisfactorily installed June 28th, 2022, and after June 28th of 2022, and no later than September 30th, 2023. So about a 15-month period, and they would have to get through the installation of taps in order to receive the rebate of those incentives.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Council. Council Member Cantorino.
Hi, this is Tony Cantorino, Place 3. Just a real quick question. On the incentives, will they stay the same as they were for the past one, or would we consider maybe upping them to drive some development?
So the incentives themselves are adopted by City Council each time we adopt our budget, those fees. And so it's those fees that we would be raising. So if there was a change in fees that was adopted by this body and that went into effect October 1, it would be whatever that rate is. And so we're just looking at the actual rebate of the fees.
Got it. Okay. Do you have a follow-up?
No, we're good.
Okay. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Christina, are the preponderance of these lots vacant, or they actually got something on them now, or the status we're looking
at? So the majority of the ones that we looked at were vacant or homes that were needing to be replaced or that could be possibly be replaced. I would say of the 119 lots, the majority of those were vacant. There were a couple that were not, but we knew that they had already been rezoned for this R1I or R2I zoning.
So with them being primarily vacant or in, you know, probably doesn't sound like they're being lived in for the most part then. Are they in arrears on taxes and those types of things, or is it?
So I did not look into every lot. I know that some of them are, and I'm not sure that all of them would be.
Right, but some of them, probably the city's got abatements on them for whatever reason. How do we reach out to some of these lot owners? Because if no one's living there, how do we get a hold of somebody so that they're aware that this opportunity's there if they want to try to develop it or maybe sell it so somebody else could take advantage of that?
So what we can do is we can utilize our social media, and then if this body would like to provide direction to staff, we do have the ability to utilize Bell County tax records. They're not always accurate, and sometimes the mail does come back, but we can utilize that as an option as well. We don't have an official record of all vacant lots. This was just done utilizing aerial maps that we have available to us to determine the status of some of the lots.
Okay. Because anything we can do, I think, would be beneficial to try to, you know, bring awareness that, hey, take advantage of this to develop it and maybe make it something useful for the community, for people here in the city. So thank you.
Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5. Christina, like, there is a time frame to do this, like, you know, from the time that this property not being used, like, to the time that we consider to reimburse them the money?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. So what we're proposing is a 15-month window. And so if somebody has already started the platting process or they're properly platted, they're a little bit closer to taking advantage of this. And it's not through completion of the home, it's completion of the tap. So through the public infrastructure, putting the tap in, getting through all your permitting process, not necessarily completion of construction. And so looking at the timelines that we have right now for how long it's taking a home to come in, this seems to be an adequate amount of time. And it also is something that this body could choose to reenact the following year or reinstate the following year like you did, like the council did previously.
I think it is a good idea as long as we have a time frame. Like, you know, these pipes, sometimes if it's not used for so many years, they get rusted, they get bad, and you have to replace all this. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, Mayor Smith got some questions. So do you have an estimate on, you know, the increase for R1I, so the increase in ad valorem tax rate that it would bring to the city, because I assume that would more than compensate for the incentives that would be given. Do we have any idea?
So I did not look at the tax rate since that's not something we deal with, but you are looking at, we anticipate a good 60 units to come into play within this 15-month period, so that's 15 more homes that we don't have now.
Right. Okay, and as far as the slowdown for people that did not take advantage of the incentives that we had, was that more market-driven because with these being R1I and then later on as far as R2I, that they can't make the numbers work for them?
So when we went back and we looked, our overall numbers during that time frame for permits were down. And so we do believe that it was market-reflective back then.
Right. Okay. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I just had a thought there. I know we've been approached before in the past by Habitat for Humanity for looking for locations where they could build homes. That this might be an opportunity when we can maybe reach out to them to see if we can locate some of these landowners to maybe they could take advantage of this and maybe do some developments possibly. So it's just an idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Any more questions from the council? Okay. Thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item? This is a public hearing. Anyone to speak for or against this item? Hearing none, do we have a motion from the council? Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I'd like to make a motion to approve an amendment to Statute 155.0221 R1I. Single-family infill dwelling district of the Harker Heights Code of Ordinances to allow for incentives based upon staff's recommendation and findings.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay. Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, Place 2, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3, how do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, Place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, Place 5, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously, 3-0. Next item under public hearings, number 2. Conduct a public hearing to discuss, consider approving an amendment to Section 155.0231 R2I, two-family infill dwelling district of the Harker Heights Code of Ordinances to allow for incentives, providing for an effective date of the amendment, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is a continuation of the previous item, but this is for our duplex type developments that we have. The R2I area is actually limited to the north side of the city. Back in 2017 is when we first brought this into our code of ordinances, and we only had two particular parcels take advantage of this for a total of just over $2,000. And this one in particular was not redone or extended an additional year. So it was only active for that 1 year. We do have about 53 vacant parcels or parcels that are zoned for this particular type of development on the northern part of the city. And again, depending on who takes advantage, these are also the same parcels that could be also utilized for the R1. So you are looking at that approximate $100,000 in incentives with this particular action is what we're anticipating for the next year.
Okay. Okay, Council, any questions for the Planning and Development Director? Okay, thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item? Anyone to speak for or against this item? Seeing none, do I have a motion by the council? Councilmember Cantorino.
I make a motion to approve the amendment number 155.0231 R2-I, two-family infill dwelling of Harker Heights Code of Ordinances to allow for incentives based upon staff's recommendation and findings.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a second? Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I will second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, Place 2. How do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3. How do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, Place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, Place 5. How do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5. Vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 3-0. Next item is paragraph 10, regular business. Number one, discuss and consider approving a request for alcohol services for the Harkrights Chamber of Commerce music-friendly event scheduled for July 22, 2022 at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce is requesting alcohol services for their Harker Heights music-friendly event at Carl Levin Park at the amphitheater on July 22, 2022 from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. They will have local wine and beer vendors present to sell alcoholic beverages. This is a new location for this type of application, but we have worked with the Chamber several times on alcohol service requests. So I will be happy to answer any questions that you have, and Gina Pence from the Chamber of Commerce is here as well.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the council? Okay. Mrs. Pence, do you have anything else to add to what Mr. Ace has presented?
Thank you for allowing me to present a few little tidbits about the upcoming event. We are doing this on behalf of the City of Harker Heights, and we're excited to be working with the governor's office. They will come on the 22nd during this event to present us with the official, I keep wanting to say almost film-friendly, music-friendly certification. And so since we're going to have vendors and we're open to the public and live music, showcasing our local talent here in Harker Heights, we would like to be able to have beer and wine for people to enjoy and stay longer. The event is just for a few hours, but we are excited to be able to present this on behalf of the city. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions from the council? Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Mr. Shea, I assume we'll have PD on station for this event?
Yes, we will, and we'll make sure that that PD gets their say in the logistics of the event as well. Like I said, since it's a new location, we'll meet with them on that, but we've done this several times at Community Park at least.
Correct.
So
yep.
Similar logistics.
All right, thank you.
Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. And this is regular business. Do I have a motion? Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, Place 5. I'd like to make a motion to approve a request for alcohol service for the Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce music-friendly event at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater for July 22nd, 2022.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Cantorino.
This is Tony Cantorino, Place 3. I second the motion.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, Place 2, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3, how do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, Place 3, I vote yes.
Thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4, has an excused absence. Sam Hallaby, Place 5, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously, 3-0. Next item under regular business, number 2, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. And for our citizens, I'll just be hitting the highlights tonight, but there are extra copies of the city manager's report on the small table on the right before you exit the double door. So please grab a copy of that. Again, I'll just be covering the highlights tonight. Council, we'll start off under the Activity Center. I want to point out the new game room at the Activity Center is open Mondays and Fridays from 9 to 6 p.m. This room includes fun, board games, ping pong, and video games. Bring your attention to our Go Heights program. You will see there that you can join us for nature discoveries for children ages 3 to 6 at Carl Levin Park. That was Monday, June 27th. And then you got the Outdoor Adventure Group will be doing a hike on Wednesday, July 6th, starting at 6 p.m. at Dana Peak. Under our athletics, you see we have a lot going on, a little update on youth volleyball as well as our youth soccer. That registration for youth soccer is open until July 21st. Registration is ongoing for our Ability Bowling, which is a program designed for those aged 5 through 22 with special needs or disabilities. Registration is open for our Adult Softball and Kickball League until July 1st. Moving down to our Senior Recreation, I just want to point out, you see that they have a bunch of activities going on their council, from Wednesday wellness walks, a senior swim. They have a new class addition, Spades, which will be on Tuesdays. They have senior bingo, as well as a ladies' night out and a game time. Moving to our Recreation Center, I want to point out a new class addition there, Adaptive Chair Yoga. That will be on Mondays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The Adaptive Chair Yoga centers around using a chair, wheelchair, or other mobility device, and is one of the gentlest forms of yoga. Moving to our special events, I think earlier Jeff mentioned our Parks and Rec Fest. That will be at Carl Levin. Okay, Carl Levin, I've got it from 6 to 8 right now. Is what I have it on there. Is that correct? Okay, 6 to 8 there. So be there for our Parks and Rec Fest at Carl Levin on July the 7th. And then our Splash Bash will be held on July 30th in Kern Park, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and you can join in on water slides, fun activities, and, Council, make sure you note this, the largest water balloon fight of the season. So I don't know what fights you've had already, but this will be the largest for you this season. All right, talking about moving to our library here. Earlier gave a great report on that, but our library will have families take a break with a week of Gone Fishing programs at the library. And, Council, if you look down through the list here, you see they've got a Gone Fishing program, as well as Dive into the Library and Activity Center's Makerspace, Fish Fun Story Time, as well as Fish Fun Toddler Time, just to name a few there. But I do want to bring your attention, Council, about midway down the page, that the Stuart C. Meyer Harker Heights Public Library is thrilled to announce that it has received a Community Advancement Packages Program grant from the Texas State Library and Archives Commission for the library's Heights Heals Program Initiative. The library was awarded grants in two categories, trauma-informed libraries and analog outreach. And the library will purchase with the funds from this items that will make spaces in the library more comfortable for those patrons suffering from trauma and anxiety. So kudos to our library, a very neat program there. Also, get ready for storyteller Bernadette Nason on Wednesday, July 6th at 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. And get ready for a joyful morning of story songs and cultural education. I understand space is limited and that one goes quick, so make sure you do get signed up for that. And also, the library will offer a family hike at Miller Springs. That will be Saturday, July the 9th at 8 a.m. Council, at your seats, you have a number of items I just want to bring your attention to. You have an update from staff there about the Belton 4th July parade. Also, you will see there, Council, please note that there will not be a workshop July 5th, so no workshop Tuesday, July the 5th. As well as you have there an invitation to our own Chief Gadd's retirement ceremony, Friday, July 15th. That will be at 2 p.m., and that will be at St. Paul Chong Hsong Parish Center. And then, Council, don't forget, we've had to move it around just for everybody's schedule, but your group picture day is July 26th at 4 p.m., and you see staff put it on very large print and paper to remind you of that. So that concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, any questions for the city manager? Along with the programs that the library does, I just want to let you know that you had the creature teacher. I saw their truck on my way back from Dallas yesterday, so just to let you know it. I'm paying attention. Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Just make sure you let Ms. McCann know so she doesn't show up on Tuesday, because she showed up last time. So
we will do that.
All right, moving on to paragraph 11. Items from the council and announcements. Anything from the council? Council Member Blomquist.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I'm not at a loss for words here, but it's a short list here this time. So on June 18th, I attended the Harker Heights Farmers Market. Again, it's growing. It's back in full strength. It was looking really good that weekend. On the 21st of June, I attended the Harker Heights Employee Recognition Ceremony at the Harker Heights Activity Center. We recognized a lot of individuals across the city for their the years of dedicated service to our city, and it's a very noble calling. So thank you again for all the hard work for the citizens across our community here, recognizing the hard work that our city employees do for our cities. There's so much they do, and so much of it is unrecognized, but thank you again. On the 23rd, unfortunately, I was not able to attend the Harker Heights Chamber Lunch Bunch meeting. I know they went out to Bobby Lupo's, so I missed that. I had official business to take care of. And then also this past weekend, this is the first probably, and the last that I can remember, farmer's market where I did not attend because I was out of town again. So it was a sad moment, but in the spirit of things, I did go attend the farmer's market in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was a really good event. So I got some great ideas that I can bring back to our farmer's market. So I'm looking forward to our next one coming up this Saturday. So thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Cantorino.
Yeah, Tony Cantorino, place three. Last Tuesday, I attended the Central Texas Council of Governments class for new elected officials. It was really informative, and there were a number of guest speakers, of which Mayor Smith was one of them. He did an awesome job. And afterwards, I really enjoyed it so much that I'm applying to the Council of Governments to do some volunteer work with them. It's a great opportunity to learn how things work in our city and other cities around us. Then that following Saturday morning was my fourth consecutive visit to the farmer's market with my dog, Dutch. I brought my dog, Dutch, and we figured it's a great way to start our weekend, and he doesn't really start the weekend until we go to the farmer's market. And then yesterday, I had a great opportunity. I met with Gina Pence of our Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce. The chamber's helping me reach out to Central Texas College. They have an internship program, and I would like to see more of our local businesses take opportunity to use Central Texas College students and intern them at their companies. One of the things you can do is you can teach them with some real-world knowledge, stuff that they won't see in a classroom, and it can be really eye-opening to them and then set them on a great pathway for once they graduate. Okay, so that's something that Gina's helping me work on, and I'm really proud of that, and I'm thankful for her help. So thanks again, Gina. And then, of course, every Tuesday night, a lot of people either know this or don't know this, but there's a huge fishing tournament every Tuesday night out here at Lake Stillhouse Hollow. I'm a part of that. I sponsor the tournament as well as go there and weigh fish for the boats that bring people in, bring their catch in, and then I also sometimes fish it. It's a great opportunity to see people not only from the local areas, but we have a lot of fishing teams that come from Waco, all the way down to San Antonio, including Austin and out towards Lampasas. And what a lot of people don't realize is that when these teams come to our town, they buy ice, food, gas, and I hate to say it, but they break their boats, and guess where they get their boats fixed? Okay, so there's thousands of dollars a week spent here in our community just because we host a tournament here, and that's done by resident Dean Thompson of Tightlines Fishing and Tackle. And then the last thing is really fast. Last Tuesday, I got my very first adult library card. Yay. Signed up for it. So, 60 years old, right? Yeah, and that's all I got.
So you can only check out things from the adult section of the library? Okay, anything else from the council? Okay, moving on, update and announcements from the mayor. On the 15th of June, we had had a meeting here at the City Hall with city staff. On June the 18th, again, attended the Harker Heights Farmers Market. It's a good area to meet and greet folks. On June the 21st, I delivered a presentation at the Sitcog Belton newly elected officials class. That's the second or third year that I've done that. It's a good event. Get to meet a lot of folks, again, that are not necessarily from our immediate area. On the 21st also, attended the Harker Heights Employee Recognition Gathering at the Harker Heights Activity Center. And Mr. Mitchell, I think y'all did a great job on recognizing the people that make things happen in this city. On the 22nd of June, I attended the Fort Hood Community Services Council meeting at the Lone Star Conference Center aboard Fort Hood. There are a number of senior officers and staff and COs that live in Harker Heights, and there are also a number of people that are senior staff out there that also make a point to come talk to me and let me know that they live in Harker Heights also. So we definitely got a lot of good things going on out there. And then on the 25th, again, made it to the Harker Heights Farmers Market, and I missed Mr. Blomquist, but again, hopefully we'll rendezvous here in the future. Okay, That ends paragraph 11. Move on to paragraph 12 to recess into executive session. Number one, pursuant to the following designated section of the Texas Government Code, annotated chapter 551, the council may convene into executive session to discuss the following. A, section 551.074, personnel, discuss and deliberate the employment, evaluation, and duties of the city manager. So we will recess into executive session at 6:11. Okay, council is back in the chambers. We'll reconvene into an open meeting, and the time is 6:35. And number one, take action, if any, on matters discussed in executive session. Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, please fight. I'd like to make a motion to extend the contract for the city manager with the following changes. Extend contract for an additional 2 years, 5% salary increase, increase city contribution to deferred compensations by $10,500, increase the retention incentives by $20,000.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilmember Cantorino.
Tony Cantorino, place three. I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, has an excused absence. Michael Blomquist, place two. How do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three. How do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, has an excused absence. Sam Hadley, place five. How do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, place five, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 3-0. And again, is there anything else, Mr. Mitchell, on the agenda?
No, sir, that's it.
Okay, seeing none, we're adjourned at 6:36.